Now, be honest tonight, how many of you in here has ever heard of the Rechabites? All right, Jeremiah chapter 35, please. Jeremiah chapter 35, we'll begin reading in verse number 5. For time's sake, we'll not read the whole chapter. I'll try to just give you the rundown over it. Go back and read it when you have an opportunity. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed." Look at verse number 12, please. "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me." Look at verse number 18, please. "And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever." Father, have your way now in just a little while tonight, and help us to preach. At least get the message across to the hearts of the people. And Lord, we just love you and we thank you for allowing us to come back tonight. And Lord, we realize this could be our last message to this world. God, whatever your will is tonight, I pray that it might be delivered according to your perfect will. And I pray Jesus Christ might receive the honor and glory. We'll be careful to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a strange, somewhat of a strange passage. God came to Jeremiah in chapter 35. You can go back and read it. He told Jeremiah, he said, "I want you to go down and I want you to get the Rechabites, and I want you to bring them to the house of God. When you get them back here," he said, "I want you to bring them inside, and I want you to set them down at the table, and I want you to set some pots of wine in front of them." He said, "When you get them set down and you set the wine in front of them, stand before them and say, Now drink." And that's what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah obeyed the word of the Lord. He went down and he got the Rechabites. Rechabites are not Jews. They're Gentiles. They're not God's chosen people. And he went and got these Rechabites, and he brought them back, and he set them down at the house of God. And he went and he got some bowls and he filled them up with fermented wine. And he brought that fermented wine and he set it on the table to these Rechabites. And he said, "All right, thus saith the Lord, drink ye." And they said, "We will not drink." And Jeremiah said, "Why will ye not drink?" And they said, "Because 300 years ago, our fathers told us not to." 300 years earlier, these Rechab had Jonadab, the father of these Rechabites, and 300 years earlier, their fathers told their fathers. You say, what did they teach them, preacher? They told them some abstinence. They taught them to refrain from some things in their life. And they taught them that they could live without it. What amazes me is after 300 years, to prove a point, God tells Jeremiah in front of Israel to go and get these Rechabites, bring them to the house of God, set them down, and tell them to drink wine, knowing they would not drink. God knew they would not touch the wine, because for 300 years, none of their family has drank wine. None of their family, not only did they not drink wine, verse 7 says, "Neither shall you build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents." In other words, what he was telling them, or what they were saying to Jeremiah, was that our father taught us some things that his grandfather, that our grandfather taught us, that our great-grandfather taught us, and so on and so forth. And there's some things that we try to do because we honor our father and our mother, and we do what they tell us to do, and we try to mind them, and something or another, 300 years earlier, was put in them, was instilled in them, was grounded in them, that made them able, when they came and sat down at that table in the house of God, they were able to say, "We don't do that." Something was different about them. It was that they were God's chosen people. It's just that they honored their father and their mother. And I don't know how in the world they did it, but I want you to think about something tonight. Think about, most of us in here don't know who our forefathers were 300 years ago. Most of us don't have a clue where we came from. Can you imagine the heritage that they had? That for 300 years, nobody in our family has touched a drop of wine. And I want to just preach for a little while tonight on some things we can learn from the Rechabites. There's a few things that we can learn here in the Bible from these folks that we are to take note to and consider, because they'll be helpful to our own lives and to our Christian walk with God. Let me say tonight that one of the things that we can learn, the first thing that we can learn tonight from the Word of God about these Rechabites, is that wine is still a mocker. It's still dangerous. It's still wicked as the devil. If you're one of them Christians that like to go and take a little nip every once in a while and slip down the road or go in the closet and hit the bottle a little bit, I hope there's nobody in here. I don't think there is. But just in case you are, you're still making a mockery of God. Wine is still a mocker. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse number 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God said, if you drink that stuff, you're deceived. You're receiving a lie. You're accepting a falsehood. The Bible says in chapter 23 of Proverbs, listen to the repercussions of drinking. Listen, do you realize tonight that drinking is still the number one drug in America? That's still the number one killer in America. Everywhere you go, every day, somebody is killed by a drunken driver on the highways. They'll get that stuff. Look at what the Bible says it does to a man. In Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 29, the Bible says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? He's going to answer these questions. Watch. He says, who hath contentions? That's always fighting and always cussing and always beating on one another. Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? You ever seen somebody? They just on and rattle and rattle and rattle and rattle. On and on and on. There's nothing worse than a drunkard talking. There's nothing. A drunkard is one of the most religious persons you'll ever find. A drunkard is a talker. You can't get them to shut up. The Bible says, who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? There's no reason for it, but they always harm themselves. Who has wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? That's what it does. It makes your eyes bloodshot. Amen? The Bible says, they that tarry long at the wine. Amen? Watch what it says. They that go to seek mixed wine. And he just talking about mixed drinks. You say, that's not wine, that's liquor. Liquor's just made from wheat or something, or barley, where wine is made from grapes or something. It's the same thing. It's all wine, amen? And you say, that's God's talking about drinking mixed drinks. He's talking about some people drink liquor and beverage and some of them mix different liquors together, different wines together, and they'll mix that thing up and drink that stuff. The Bible says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. You say, what do you mean it moves? It moves by itself. You can set a glass of wine on the table and it don't have to be a train going by. Nothing has to be shaken. And that stuff will sit there and stir itself. You say, why, preacher? Because it's a spirit. There's demons and devils in the bottle, amen? That stuff will destroy your life. The Bible says, he said, don't even look at it. If you look at it, you'll do just like Eve did, you'll wind up tasting it, amen. David looked at Bathsheba and he wound up taking her. It all starts with the eyes. It all starts. Why do you think advertisements is so great about the breweries and about Miller High Life and Budweiser and all of that? Why do you think that stuff is so pleasant to the eyes? Every time you see a beer commercial, you got a naked woman in it, amen? Or some couple down on the beach looking into the sunset, and like that stuff's supposed to bring you harmony and peace and joy and all that, and it brings a false sense of security. It'll ruin your life, amen. The Bible says, at the last, it biteth like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. Boy, you ever seen a drunk the next day when he gets up? You know what he always got to do? He's got to have some of the hair of the dog that bit him. Amen? We get everything out of the Bible. everything we use, we get it from the Bible. All of our statements, the news media, what they use, they don't even realize it. Get a lot of it from the Bible. And something's biting, amen? Something has grabbed a hold of you, and it's called wine, it's called liquor, amen? It's called alcohol. The Bible says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. I'm telling you, that's what it'll do. It'll make you rob another man's wife. It'll make you steal another man's husband, another man's wife, or another woman's husband. It'll make you ruin your marriage. It'll bust up your home. It'll destroy your life. It'll ruin your kids. It'll tear up your house. It'll destroy your... Hey, it'll ruin your life, amen. Wine is still a mocker. Bible says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. You'll say things when you're drunk you'll never say when you're sober. You'll do things when you're drunk you'll never ever dream of doing when you're sober. I'm not going to glory in it. I'm not going to gloat in it. I'm not going to make it sound pleasing tonight. But I'm telling you something, dear heart. I regret the days when I drank that juice. I regret the days when I let that stuff ruin my life. Amen. It'll destroy every ounce of your being. It'll drain the life out of you. Now, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. You'll wake up the next day and wonder where you've been. You'll wonder how you got that blood on your face. You'll wonder who you cussed out or who you talked to wrong or what you said. Somebody, I've had experience of people coming to me and telling me things I did in a drunken stupor, didn't even realize I'd done it. I'm telling you to ruin your life. Hey, you'll say things, do things you never dreamed of doing when you were sober, amen. Bible says, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. You know what will happen when you get drunk? You know what will happen when you get filled with that hooch? You'll just fall over anywhere. You'll just lay anywhere. You just, anywhere you lay down, you'll pass out. It won't matter if you're laying on a barn roof or where you're at or on a mast on top of a ship and that thing's tossing to and fro and you're just laying there, you're just drunk and passed out. Hey, it'll kill you. It'll make you, it'll knock you out and put you places you never dreamed of. Look at what it says in verse 35. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. But you feel it now. Amen. And then he asked the question, when am I going to wake up? When to God, I could preach that right there all night. When are you going to wake up? I don't know who this is for. I don't know why God. Maybe it's just a warning to some of you young people. God, hey, this fella here, he passes out, and somebody beats him up, knocks his teeth out, beats his head in, breaks his bones, and he didn't feel it while he was south. But the next morning, he wakes up, and he says to himself, how long am I going to keep doing this? When am I going to wake up? When am I going to get smart? When am I going to realize I'm destroying my life? When am I going to wake up and understand this stuff will kill me? It's a mocker, the Bible says. Wine is a mocker. I don't understand. Then you got this social crowd. Then you got this Christian crowd that's going to go through there
run through the Bible and pick a verse out so they can justify nipping the bottle. That's the way people are. That's the way we do. We like to justify everything we do. If we can find a verse to fit it, boy, we'll use it. Amen. I'm telling you, you know what these Rechabites said? They said, our father said not to drink it. Our grandfather said not to drink it. His father said not to. And his father said not to. And his father and his father and his father. And bless God, we ain't gonna break that stuff. That's the attitude we ought to take toward it tonight. Well, now we can't tell today who the Christians are. Everybody just, oh, we'll have church for Sunday evening. Then Monday evening we'll go down to Moose Lodge, the Mason Lodge, and drink with the brethren. That's the way they are. About 90% of you Southern Baptist deacons is Masons. Well, anyway, I'm just telling you the truth. What can we learn from them? We can learn that wine is still a marker. Look at what he says. Let me finish with this and go next. When shall I awake? When are you going to wake up? Then he says, I'll seek it again. You say, see, it don't never satisfy. You ain't ever going to get satisfied. You reach out. I'm telling you, dear God, a lost person today, a Christian that's backslid on God, cold in their heart, they're just grabbing stuff. They're just reaching out for anything and everything, and they're in their reach and in their grasp that they can get to satisfy this flesh, to just ease this flesh, to just help this flesh. And I'm telling you something, it will not satisfy. It will not last. Hey, there's no hope in it. There's no good in it, amen. It'll destroy you. It'll ruin your life, amen. Forget what he said. Hey, they said, we're not going to drink it. Jeremiah said, God said, drink this wine. They said, you tell God we ain't drinking it. That's what they said. Amen. What can we learn from the Rechabites? We can learn that wine is still a mocker. We can learn, verse number 7, that this world is not our home. Neither shall you build house. Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he might please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. I'm telling you something, folks. Hey, we could be Christians tonight if we could get our stinking feet out of the world. We could. You know what they're doing? You know what they're saying? They're saying, hey, I'm not saying it's wrong to buy a house. I'm not saying it's wrong to build a house here. I'm not saying it's wrong to have something and maybe pay the bank off for it or something. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying tonight, dear God, is it's wrong when we put all of our life and all of our work and all of our struggling and all of our effort and all of our love into building something here like we're going to spend eternity right here. I got news for you tonight. The kingdom ain't coming in, amen. Until I go out, you can stay here if you want to stay here. But boom, there's a dark kingdom coming before the power of God shows up. Amen. We're not to get entangled with the affairs of this life. We're not to have anything that we can't drop in a split second and fly out of here with joy in our heart. We're not to get, I'll tell you, some of us is so bogged down with stuff and things and junk until, dear God, if the Lord called us out, we'd have to unhook ourselves from everything just so it wouldn't weigh us down when we left. That's the way Christians are. I'm telling you, hey, this world's not my home. I'm going to another place. I'm just passing through here, amen. I'm a looking for another city. I'm a going to another home, amen. I got a mansion over yonder. I got streets of gold over yonder. I got all manners of fruit, amen. I got a place where there's no more suffering or sorrow or pain or trials or tribulations. I'm a going to a better place, amen. Why in the world would I get bogged down with this life? Why in the world would I let things of this world attach me and pull me under, destroy me and drown me in this world? But Christians are doing it. We're living in the days of apostasy. We're living in the days when I told a friend the other day, I said, we're living in the day of Christian apostasy. He said, brother, he said, do you mean they're going to another church? I said, no. They're just leaving. They're just falling out. They're just quitting on God. They're just sitting down on God. They just stop worshiping. They just stop praying. They just stop reading their Bible. They just stop everything in the world of God. They quit singing in the choir. They quit teaching Sunday school. They just do everything, bless God. Hey, everything in the world, bless God. Hey, because I can't do for God, I've got to have it my way, amen. You know what it is? It's apostasy. We're experiencing the life of apostasy today. Christians are in apostasy. You say, preacher, I'm steadfast, I'm sure, I'm standing on solid ground. You better be careful. If a man thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. Amen. You better be careful tonight. I heard others say the same thing. I heard others say, I'll not leave preacher. I heard others say, I'll back you 100% preacher. I heard others say, we're not going anywhere preacher. We're going to be right here when Jesus comes. But they ain't in church no more. They ain't in any church no more. They just out in the world doing their thing. Amen. I'm telling you, you better get some grit. You better get some... Hey, you know what? I wonder what our kids could say about us. Amen. I wonder if they could say, hey, I might be a drunk tonight, but Daddy told me right. Daddy told me it was wrong. Daddy told me it was wicked. Daddy never drank in front of me. Hey, Daddy prayed in front of me. Daddy read his Bible in front of me, amen. I'm telling you, we better leave something for our babies, amen. What can we learn from the Rechabites? We can learn that wine is still a mocker. Bible says in Deuteronomy, verse chapter 20, we can learn that this world's not our home. In Deuteronomy chapter number 20, let me read this to you real quick. Verse number 5, the Bible says, they're going off to battle. God says to them, watch this. Verse 5 in chapter 20, and the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house. Why? Lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Look at verse 6. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard? Are we still talking about the Rechabites? And hath not yet eaten of it. Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man that is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. Now listen to me, folks. We got Christians tonight that's died in the battle. We got Christians tonight that have left God. They've apostatized on God. They've died in the battle. They've lost their house. and they've lost their wives, and they've lost their kids. Hey, you hear what I'm saying? They've lost their vineyards. Listen to what I'm saying to you tonight. I'm giving you something. I'm making a spiritual application. Amen? And I'm telling you something. If you're not careful tonight, you'll get your cares for this life mixed up. You'll go to whoring after this life. You'll go to lusting after this life. You'll go to wasting yourself for this life. And you, before you know it, you're in the next life, and you don't even know where it went. You get all that built up. You know what you do? You go out there and slay. I went in a fellow's house this week. I'm telling you, it was big as this church. It was a nation. And I walked in there and sat down, and I looked at that thing. I looked around, and I said, my soul. God said, somebody else going to get it. Somebody else going to take it. He might die tonight. Guess what? Somebody else going to get it. You say, well, no, they won't get it. His wife's still there. They'll get his wife. They're going to get his wife. You say, well, what about that big garden he planted out? They'll get his garden.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, they're going to get his car.
Yeah, amen.
You know that one you love so much and you felt, they're going to get it.
Yeah.
They're going to. Can you imagine? Can you imagine anybody putting up with your husband? Can you imagine anybody putting up with your wife? Living with them the rest longer than you did? No, that ain't going to happen, preacher. You better wise up. You better get your head out of the sand.
Amen. Amen.
Death is real, folks. It's certain. It's going to happen. You mark it down. It's a reality of life.
Amen.
You better get an attitude like the Rechabites had. We're not going to set up home down here. We're not going to build mansions down here. We're going to put our faith in God. We're going to trust God. Hey, we're going on for God. We ain't filling our minds with wine. We're not putting those spirits and those demons in our body, bless God. Hey, we're not going to build mansions here and set up here. We're going to pass through and just pass on until we get to the other side. Amen. That's what we need. That's the attitude we need tonight. We need to ask. You say, well, the Rechabites were lost. They were Gentiles. Well, maybe so. I don't know. But they still did right. I'd rather, if they wasn't a God, it still won't hurt to do right. If there wasn't a God, it'd still be all right to do right. If it wasn't a God, drink, wine is still a marker. They said, we're not going to drink wine, neither shall you build house. Amen. Then verse 7, some things we can learn from the Rechabites. Wine is still a marker. The world is not our home. Number 3, you'll reap what you sow. Verse 7, neither shall you build houses nor sow seed. You know what? I get so sick and tired of hearing young people. Now listen to me. I get tired of hearing them say, well, you know, Daddy sowed his wild oats. You know, Uncle Bill sowed his wild oats and he's all right. He turned out okay. Preacher, you sowed your wild oats and you're okay. You're all right. You turned out okay. Let me tell you something. Listen carefully to what I'm saying tonight. That is the exception, not the rule. The rule is, hey, let me help you now. I'm not through reaping either. I'm still reaping every day of my life. I would to God, I'd give anything tonight if I still had all of my energy and all of my strength and all of my health and all the pain removed because of wasted and riotous living in my life that caused me my lungs and caused me my back and caused me my head. If I could have my health back, I'd give it all to God. I'd live for God. I would never throw it away again. Amen. That's That's the right thing. That's what the Rechabites did.
Yeah.
They said, we ain't a sowing wild oats. We're not a, I know what you're saying. They meant seed. I'm telling you, it don't make any difference. You reap what you sow.
Amen.
The Bible says so in Galatians chapter 6. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to show you both sides of it. Let me just turn there and read it. Galatians chapter 6. We need to see it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. The Bible says, be not deceived. There's that word again. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now watch this. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You see, what is he saying, preacher? He's saying, if you sow green peas, you don't reap purple hull crowders. If you sow silver queen corn, guess what comes out of the ground? You always, every time, without exception, absolutely, positively, every single time, reap exactly what you sow. Every time. You will reap exactly what you sow. Not only that, you'll always, every time, without a doubt, positively, absolutely, reap more than you sowed. You know what you do with corn? You take one little grain of corn. You take that thing out there, and you throw it in a little hole, and you cover it up with your foot. And some people say, now I've never tried this. I lived on a farm. I raised a lot of corn. I've seen corn shoot up twice my height. I've raised a lot of corn. But you know what they say? They say you can go out there to Iowa and some of them places out there where they just, for as far as you can see, just miles and miles of corn. They say you can go out there and if you get real still on a good moonlit night, you can stand out there in that field and you can hear that corn growing. So I don't believe that, preacher. I don't either. But I believe you can hear Chevrolet's rust. No, I'm just kidding. You can. I don't doubt that it's not so. You know why? I've never seen corn grow so fast as it does. Think about it. You take one little tiny seed, put it in the ground, and it ain't long. It's up there, and it's got ears that long and rows, 14 to a row, and I don't know how many umpteen rows. 300 or more kernels on one little ear. And how many ears on a stalk? And you just put one little grain in the ground. You always reap more than you sow. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying if you sow of the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Mark it down. You say, well, I'll take my chances. Why would you do that, stupid? Why after hearing my testimony? Why after looking around at some of these men and women in here that sowed some bad seeds and ruined their life? Why would you do that? You know what? That's willful ignorance. Willful stupidity. Ain't nothing worse. There's no sense in it. You look at what it says. But he that soweth to the Spirit, capital S, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now you got one or two choices tonight. You can sow wild oats, or you can sow God's oats. You can sow God's seed, the Word of God. You can some of you, God wants you to be a preacher one day. Some of you, God wants you to be a missionary. God wants somebody to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe God wants you to play for the Lord. God gave you something to do and a talent to do. Everybody in this room has got a talent for God. What's sad, you spend your whole life, you die and somebody puts you in a box and you never realize what that talent was that God had for your life. Isn't that shame? Isn't that sad? Some people brag about some of the guys in here, good with hammers and good with saws and good with, there's all kinds of talents. God may want you to go build houses in Africa. There's things God has plenty. God may want you to work in a soup kitchen for the homeless. You don't know what God. Don't count God out of your life. But be careful what you sow on the way. They said, look here, we're not going to sit here long and talk about this. We ain't drinking no wine. And we're not tangling ourselves with this life. And we ain't sowing no seeds. That'll be harmful. Back in Jeremiah, let me hurry and close. The Bible says in verse number 7, nor plant vineyards. What has that got to do with it, preacher? He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, to abstain from the very appearance of evil. All evil. Abstain from the appearance. But what's wrong with planting vineyards? It looks like I'm going to be drinking wine. Why would I, if I don't have any intentions of drinking wine, my children don't have any intentions of drinking wine, my grandchildren don't have any intention of drinking wine, why would I go out and plant a vineyard? Or we're going to make grape jelly. Are you serious? You got to be kidding me. You might make grape jelly off a grapevine. But you ain't going to plant a whole vineyard.
Right. Amen.
Just go ask Martha. You plant a vineyard, you're going to want to make money off of it. Amen? You see what I'm trying to say is, folks? You need to, if it appears, you say, well, they were going to make grape jelly, preacher. It don't make any difference. I'll guarantee you, every lost man drove by there and looked out that vineyard. You know what he's saying himself? I can't wait till they get their wine made. Does that sound like it might appear to be evil? The Bible says you need to abstain from the appearance. If it looks like it might be bad. If it looks like it's a wrong influence. If it just looks like it might be tempting. Just stay away from it. They said, well, if we don't plant vineyards, we won't be tempted to make wine. You know, you need to, there's some things we can avoid our own temptations. We don't have to, you know what we try to do? We'll get ourselves in temptation and then expect God to deliver us from it. God said, no, you got yourself in that. You should have checked up back there at the appearance.
Right. Amen.
You should have got it right at the appearance. Amen?
Amen.
Abstain from all appearance of evil. And he says, also, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents. Some things we can learn from the Rechabites, that wine is a mocker. The world is not our home. You'll reap what you sow. Abstain from the appearance of evil. We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through. I'm looking for a better place. I'm waiting on another day. You know something, folks? You've heard me say this before, but it seems like just yesterday. Seems like, how old are you, hon? 12 years old. What grade are you in? Sixth grade. Do you know I remember when I was in sixth grade? Miss Griffin was my sixth grade teacher. I'll never forget her. Big old fat woman. Huge woman. And I believe that woman loved the Lord.
Amen.
She taught me things a sixth grade teacher just don't normally teach.
Amen.
She said things that a school teacher just normally wouldn't say. Unless she's in my wife's class.
Amen.
I mean, I remember. Look here. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not going to tell you how long I've been out of sixth grade. At least 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
I thought myself when I seen my dad at 40 years old, when he had his first heart attack at 40 years old, I said, man, he's old. My gosh, he's old. No wonder he had a heart attack. Now, I done passed that. I'm pushing on 50 now. Dad's pushing on 70. Listen to me. It just happened like that. Just like that. It was gone. Now, what if God's got it laid out for your life? You're only going to see 19. What if you're only going to see 21? What if it's going to end at 19? Just like that. The Bible says it's but a vapor. It's like a spark that go up. Vanish. Life is short. You need to make up your minds if you're setting up housekeeping, if you're just passing through. Listen to me. No matter what you decide, you're just passing through. The question is not, what will you do here? The question is, what will you do there? Can you imagine spending eternity in heaven? I'm telling you, folks, this life right here is just a flash. It's just a vapor.
Amen.
How many of you remember? How many of you were here when I came here to this church? I can't believe it's been that long. I can still remember my address in Monroe, North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's gone. The house has probably been sold two or three times. Life is short. Are you prepared for what's left? We better take some advice tonight from the Rechabites. We better keep ourselves for God. We better hold ourselves from this world. The greatest thing you'll ever do in your life, honey, is give your heart, soul, and mind, and body to God.
Amen. That's right.
That's the greatest accomplishment you'll ever have in all of your life. You'll be greater than a rocket scientist. You'll be greater than the President of the United States.
Yeah,
you'll be greater than all the Congress and all the politicians if you will just give your heart, mind, body, and soul to God. You know who will be in line first at the judgment seat of Christ? You know who will receive the most and the most abundant rewards? You.
Amen.
I've probably lost more than I'll ever get. What about you tonight? That's enough preaching. Let's stand.